Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Get ready to hear a key player from one of the most watched series anywhere, The Voice on NBC. Executive producer Audrey Morrissey joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Like single dad, like preteen daughter, and maybe out there grandma. That's the formula of Sydney to the Max, coming tonight on the Disney Channel. We'll break down the plot and more next half hour with creator executive producer Mark Reisman. Also ahead, 30 for 30-minute meals, What's Up with Steve Lightfoot, classic trivia winner number 3 this month, and a Fox special Sunday is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. I'm casting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development part of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. By the way, if you have not heard, the shutdown is over and the government will reopen. That was announced by President Trump in the last hour. So we're happy to kick things off on a good note for the country and hopefully for you too. We invite you to stay with us. We have a great hour in store for you on the program All About Television. 39 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Wonderful guests coming your way in the hour ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call and use this number. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And if you're shy about using the phone, no problem with us. We got a chat room for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can put your questions and feedback that way. And you'll find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Same with our speaker screen as well. Audrey Morrissey from The Voice joins us live from Manhattan Beach, California, after these news notes. April 1st will not be a fool's day for Rachel Ray, thanks to new venture, the Food Network. On noon that day, she will introduce the return of her Emmy-winning daytime series, 30-Minute Meals. You could label this a 30-for-30-minute proposition. Why? Food will play an original episode of Ray's series, 30 consecutive days, and simulcast each episode on Facebook. Now some quickies. Jersey Shore Family Vacation will launch a companion dating competition series later this year on MTV, titled A Double Shot at Love, hosted by Shore personalities Paulie D and Vinny. Disney Channel has ordered a second season of new comedy Coop and Kenny, Ask the World. And we have another quickie on our first guest of this week, The Punisher executive producer Steve Lightfoot. And whether or not The Punisher goes to a third season, and he hopes it does, Lightfoot has his next Netflix assignment all set up. He will co-write and executive produce Behind Her Eyes, a 6-part suspense miniseries from Sony's Left Bank Pictures unit responsible for the Emmy-winning The Crown. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Manhattan Beach, California, in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer of The Voice, beginning its latest season, February 25th on ABC. It's a pleasure to welcome this program for the first time, Audrey Morrissey. Audrey, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Audrey, 9 years in, why has The Voice just kept growing and going?
I think there are a lot of reasons, but namely, I think there are a lot of incredible singers and artists out there, and that the show is really kind-hearted. I think people tune in for the coaches and their banter, the great performances from amazing, talented people. And I think that combination keeps people coming back. They like to see talented people get an opportunity, and they like to see the coaching of the coaches and the time that they put into their artists on their team.
How has the kind-heartedness shown up? Is it empowering the artists? Is it empowering the hosts themselves or the people that pick the voices, ultimately the contestants? Where does the kind-heartedness show up?
Well, I think, the show starts off with blind auditions. So somebody has to be talented to get a chair to turn. And they're really judged on voice alone. And for them, you know, it proves to them they have what it takes to turn a chair. And from there, it's all about building people up. There's no tearing people down. There's nothing divisive about the show. It's really about finding talented people and doing all that we can, the coaches really investing in them and doing all that they can to help them continue down their musical journey, wherever that goes.
Of all the people that have won The Voice over the last 8 years, going to year nine, who has gone the farthest, and why do you think they did?
It's really hard to say who's gone farthest. A lot of people have gone in many different paths. The first one that pops to mind is Cassidy Pope. She was Grammy nominated a few years ago. She's about to go on her first headlining tour. She's done really, really well. She's all over country radio. There's another person who didn't really continue on as an artist, but as a songwriter in Nashville, and she is writing number ones all, you know, for years now with all the top artists, but you don't see her out there as an artist name. I can think of Jordan Smith, who blew us away with his incredible rangy voice. And he has many hits and records and tours. I just think at the end of the day, it just comes down to the voice. If they've got the talent and they have the drive, all those people really made great use of their opportunity on the show, used it to connect with their coaches, connect with fellow artists on the show, and, you know, really make their way post-show. So I think with anything, it comes down to talent and drive.
When this show was first put together 8 years ago, what was the easiest thing about the format to work, and what was the hardest to pull together and work?
The good news is that the format had already had a season in Holland, so we had a lot of learnings from working with the producing team that launched the show there. So that was of a great help. That wasn't hard. I think the hardest thing was we had a very ambitious runway, like a very short prep time to launch the show, and that made it very, very tough. We also didn't really know, like, the ratios. For instance, the first season, we had 60 people ready to audition. We thought that would be plenty, you know, plenty amount of people to go through and fill our teams. I think that first year, everybody had a team of 8, I think. Now we do 12. Might have only been 6. I can't remember. But at any rate, we ran out of people. We went through all the people and we didn't fill the teams. So we had to scramble on the spot to figure out, like, how to change the rules of the show and, like, bring people back that had already gone through to give them a second chance. So there are always little pitfalls here and there, but I think it's just with anything, putting something together for the first time, what you do know is you will not have thought of everything, and you just need to adapt on the spot.
NBC launches the latest season of The Voice on February 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We are speaking with Audrey Morrissey. She is one of the executive producers of this long-running series, one of the most popular series in all of TV. She joins us live from Manhattan Beach, California this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleband with you along for the ride here from Nueva York, where it's 39 degrees at the top of the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes is a ring from you. So make the call happen at 646-652-2906. Or if you're shy about the phone, use the chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. Once again, you can find it at our homepage, talkradio.com/televised. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we're going live to the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. Why? Because in recent years, Sundance has premiered a number of television series pilots, and some of them have actually gone on to series. We're going to focus on one of them. It's called Work in Progress. We will meet the people who have made it happen. Creator, co-star, and writer Abby McKinney. Creator and director Tim Mason. And from Saturday Night Live, co-star Julia Sweeney. And where do you hear the talent that is backing up this possible TV series? And then in the second half of the hour, guess what? Super Bowl weekend is only a week or so away. And on Saturday night of Super Bowl weekend, Hallmark Channel is premiering the first ever Cat Bowl. Yes, we've had the Puppy Bowl, the Kitten Bowl, and now the Cat Bowl. And we'll have a preview from executive producer Kathy Sitola. It's all coming up Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When you wrap up a season, Audrey, what goes through you and the rest of the production team about how to tweak the series, what to keep in, what to introduce?
You know, that's another interesting question. We're now in our 16th season, which is kind of remarkable for any show. And part of the challenge when you have a series that's on that long is how to keep it fresh. How do you keep it fresh without abandoning the core values of the show and what people love about it? So we actually are very self-examining every season. From a design standpoint, just making slight little tweaks here and there to keep the show looking and feeling fresh. To bigger things, do we add a new format element or twist that will, you know, add another layer of interest to the show while not jumping the shark, so to speak, or abandoning, you know, the essential ethos of the show. So we do both. You know, the design stuff, hopefully people notice or don't actually, but they just feel like the show always looks good and modern. But the more bigger format changes, a few seasons into the show, we decided to add a steal to the battles. It seemed like a really smart thing to do, not the least of which we're troubled that we were losing a lot of great talent off the show simply because they happened to be on a very strong team and, you know, they lost their battle. But had they been on another team, they might have won it and remained in the show. So we added the steals to address that issue. I think it was two seasons ago, we introduced another element called the block, which happens in the blind, where if a coach hears a voice that they love, but they also know that another coach will likely turn and they want to prevent that other coach from being able to get them, they'll actually hit their block, so which turns their chair, but also will prevent the other coach from being able to, you know, appeal to get that person on their team should they, in fact, turn their chair as well. So there are lots of things. We're contemplating another big format twist in the coming season. We're not sure if we're going to do it yet, but hopefully it will come to pass. So I think it's just trying to be mindful of, you know, how the world is changing, how it might be mirrored back or reflected back to the show and how the show can change along with the world to make sure it's keeping pace and that we're doing everything we can do to pique interest and people engaged in the show without really making a big left turn that, you know, departs from what people love.
Speaking of the world, you are in an expanding world of entertainment competition shows all over the place. America's Got Talent, which now has a Champions offshoot that's now running on NBC. There's World of Dance. which also plays on that network. There's Dancing with the Stars and Dancing with the Stars Junior, the return of American Idol, and coming up Super Bowl weekend, we have the World's Best coming up right after that game on CBS. How do you look or survey this expanding world of primetime entertainment competition shows and incorporate what you can learn from them into what you do or don't do?
You know, I think it's always good to see what's going on with the competition. I think it's amazing that there's such an appetite for competition shows. That's great for The Voice. It's great for all of us. And I think it's really about finding what differentiates you from the rest and leaning into that and making sure that that element is strong. And it really kind of relates back to what I said before. If you really dig deep and understand what it is about your show that people enjoy, it's really about making sure you stick to that while not keeping your blinders on to add any exciting new twists that still feed the original tenets of the show, yet maybe add fresh layers that now are possible that maybe earlier on were not, or you didn't need to think of them then, or they weren't possible. I mean, a few seasons in, we added an instant save with a sort of last chance thing on our results shows where people could instantly save through a Twitter vote. The first season of our show, that wouldn't have been possible. Obviously, at the time we added it, it was. So it's about keeping your eyes open to new technology advances and how people are behaving and find different ways that they might interact with your show. So in terms of the competition, it's always great to see what they're doing, how they're using things, and to see if there's anything that would be applicable to yours.
Speaking of the expanding world, some of that is actually offshoots of your show. Telemundo has La Voz, the Spanish-language adult version of your program, which is now running Sunday nights at 9 o'clock and doing very well off the bat. And then for several seasons, we've had La Voz Kids, which is the children's version of the program, mm-hmm. also in Spanish from Telemundo. Does your production team work with the production team on those programs? And what do you think about how they've done?
I think it's phenomenal. We've worked with those teams very loosely. They've all come through our production to see how we work. And we're always there for, a helping hand and advice. But I'm not surprised it's doing well. I'm so thrilled for them. There's a huge Latin demographic in this country, and they have wonderful music and wonderful talent. And it's exciting to see the show do so well in a Spanish language format. And also La Voz Kids, that's something that we've discussed here or there. We've never yet done one, but it's interesting to see. And certainly when young talented singers come on our voice, our regular U.S. English version voice, it's always incredible to see young talent. So it's exciting. I'm happy for them.
By the way, speaking of young talent and doing La Voz Kids in English, certainly Steve Harvey has proven with Little Big Shot that it can be done and done very mm-hmm. successfully. And you also have, in addition to NBC, you could also have Universal Kids, which has already done very well with other programs, like Beat the Clock, for example, has had a children's version that has successfully been running on that show through Fremantle. At least you have a couple ways you can play.
Yeah. For the time being, one thing that's different about the U.S. version is we're on twice a year. So we're already on so much of the year, which is one of the things that makes it challenging to produce, in that we produce close to 90 hours of TV a year. So we have very, very little downtime. In fact, between the fall and spring seasons, we actually have to film the blinds for the spring season when we're in the middle of the fall season, because there's just not enough time to do it after the fall season is over. So it's already an unbelievably tricky and packed schedule.
Audrey Morrissey, executive producer from The Voice, about to begin its new season next month on NBC, February 25th, 8 p.m. Pacific Time to be exact. She is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Us. And don't forget, the Spanish language version of The Voice, you can find it this weekend, Sunday night to be specific, at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Telemundo, available on broadcast stations all over the country. Audrey joins us live from Manhattan Beach, California, this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Got a few more minutes with Audrey before we move on, so get a phone call in if you can, or chat room item 2. It's 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 1 week from today on Tomorrow We Televised, we're going to talk about BET's new series, American Soul, about the making of Soul Train. The creator and showrunner of that dramatic series, Devin Gregory, will join us as our lead guest. And then Comcast, the parent of NBC Universal, has a new network that they're launching on their cable systems across the country in time for Black History Month, which begins, by the way, next Friday. It's called Afro. And spokesperson Keisha Boyd will talk about that new service, the second service aimed at people of color that they have launched in the last few weeks, the other being Cleo TV, which launched earlier this month. Keisha Boyd from Afro joining us February 1st, part of Black History Month, next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. I'm sure a lot of people ask you, Audrey, how do you get on The Voice? What's the audition process like? Is there one straight way to do it, or are there like various ways to get involved? Explain the process.
The process is we have a big casting team. They go to several cities throughout the country in advance of each season and hold open auditions. They also hold by invite auditions. They have extensive contacts now throughout the music industry and with schools and local universities and associations and lots of things. They also scour the internet. People come to them through all ways, manager suggestions. So they're just constantly combing everywhere, looking for talent. And those that sort of rise to the top based on those efforts are invited. First, actually, we go through, I think it's about 200 or a little more, 200 people that we screen off of video. And based on that, we invite around 150 to LA, where we hear them perform in person. And from there, it culls down to around 100 people, 90 to 100 people that are selected to actually go through the process of a blind audition. So it's pretty rigorous. And before the blind audition, if they're one of the 100 or so that are selected, they come to LA and they spend, you know, a week or so preparing for their audition with rehearsing with our band, getting vocal lessons, just prepping them for their, you know, their big audition, doing everything in our power to help them get a chair to turn.
How has your series impacted the lives of the people who make those decisions to turn the chair, whether it's Christina Aguilera or Blake Shelton, or the people you'll have on as the coaches this year? How has it impacted their careers? What do they think about now that they didn't before they started being on The Voice?
Well, I think for all of them, I think every coach and or mentor that's been on the show has loved the experience. I think they've all been taken by how enriching it has been to them, the whole process of helping others really is a gift to them as well. And you know, stimulates them creatively. It's a really rewarding experience to pay it forward. So I think that's really the big takeaway. Certainly for Kelly Clarkson and Jennifer Hudson, two coaches of The Voice who, made their careers through American Idol. you know, their two coaches, our only two coaches who, you know, kind of came onto the scene through one of these shows. So they, in particular, have a very unique, you know, kinship with the artists and just understanding of exactly what they're going through. But all the coaches love the process. They get involved very much with their team. They have often relationships with these artists beyond the show, whether it's taking them on tour with them, helping them get connect with managers or writers or producers. There's a whole community that really develops with the show. But I think everybody that's mentored or coached has just loved the process. And I think also for them, being on the show is a way that they can show who they really are to the public, because the show basically captures them doing what they do, what they love to do, make music. So it's just a different window into who they are as opposed to traditional glimpses of them through the media, which would be, you know, a late night show, a chat show, where when they're usually on to specifically promote something. Here you're seeing them and getting to know them through the show and just through doing what they love to do. So I think for all of them that have been on the show, it's really offered them an opportunity to let the public get to know them a little better.
The new season of The Voice, one of the longest-running shows of its kind on television, premieres on NBC February 25th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check the locals for NBC is available in your area on broadcast TV. And for more details about the program online, go to NBC.com. And don't forget, La Voz, the Spanish-language edition, hosted by Renee Bernal, by the way, the English language, of course, always hosted by Carson Daly. But La Voz, the Spanish-language edition, this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Telemundo. And for more details about that series, Telemundo.com. Orchard Morrissey, executive producer of The Voice, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure all the way. Congratulations on the great success you and your team have had so far, and hopefully many more seasons to come, and many more great artists coming through The Voice as well.
Thank you so much. Bye.
It is a pleasure. Take care.
Bye.
Audrey Morris, the executive producer of The Voice, joining us live from Manhattan Beach, California. We're going to tell you about our classic trivia question, our latest winner, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you heard, if you get a trial subscription to Audible.com, a 30-day or one-month trial, guess what? It's no longer just one free audiobook, you get three. You get one from the great collection of over 180,000 titles to choose from in every genre around, and the growing number, two audiobooks from Audible Originals. It's everything from off-Broadway and Broadway productions, one-man, one-woman shows, and original audio dramas and comedies. It's made especially for Audible.com, an Amazon company. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televise and make it happen. And don't forget, you can listen to all audiobooks from Audible on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com, televise, get three free audiobooks, 1 month trial of the service, and, of course, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And once you do, I think you're going to conclude that Audible will transform the way you hear the world. audibletrial.com/televise. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And for the third week in a row, we have a winner. And that winner is Andy Orgel from Danville, California. If the name sounds familiar, Mr. Orgel at one point was one of the key executives at A&E. He also had his own channel for a while, Video Jukebox Network. And now he's in California with his own production company and consulting firm out there. The question that we posed on Monday was, name the original host of Name That Tune back in 1952. And I have to say, of all of our questions so far this year, this one provoked the most responses. We had Jack Barry, we had Wink Martindale, we had Tom Kennedy, who did do Name That Tune in prime time in 1970s, and we had Dennis James, who did do Name That Tune daytime in the 1970s on NBC. But the correct answer, which Andy Orgel had, was Red Benson. Red Benson did the first 2 years of Name That Tune, 1952-54. Dale Cullen then came by, and then the person who was best associated with the original run of Name That Tune throughout the 50s on broadcast television, George DeWitt. But the answer, Red Benson. Andy Odell had it, and Andy, we've got the John Edwards 6CD set, Develop Your Own Psychic Powers, on its way to you right now in the mail. So watch for it, and congratulations for playing. Third weekly winner in a row. Can we make it four? We'll find out starting on Monday. So take a listen, hear the question, and if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and put down your full mailing address. And if you're the winner, you might win a very interesting prize we'll tell you about on Monday. If you miss the program on Monday and we don't have a winner by the end of the day, we'll post the question tomorrow on Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. And remember, in order to win, just like Andy Orgel from Danville, California did, and our other two winners so far this year, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. When we come back, we will have Mark Reisman, the former Frasier writer-producer, has got his own new sitcom. It's for the family. It's called Teen to the Max. It premieres tonight on the Disney Channel. We'll join us live from L.A. from the set of the show. And then Fox has got our show to know this Sunday night. Told you all about it. We'll do all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.spreaker.com. Together, more than 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio is your home for Wanda's Picks. It's all about black arts and culture. Check it out every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy to have you with us after the bottom of the hour. Simon Apple, Memory Live from New York. Another great guest coming your way. Plus, our show to know that's running on Fox this Sunday night. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers get anywhere, catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And we've got our chat room going, SimonApple04 by name. So if you're shy about the phone, use the room. It's SimonApple04@blogtalkradio.com/televised. The Disney Channel has a brand new comedy coming out tonight. It's called Sydney to the Max. Premieres at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Its creator is an Emmy nominee for his work on such comedies as Frasier, Wings, and The X's. Pleasure to welcome this program live from the set of this show in Los Angeles, Mark Reisman. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. This is sort of a very unique turn for your career in television because you've been known for adult comedies like Frasier and Wings and so forth, and now you're moving into the family arena.
You're absolutely right, actually. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, I basically worked what you could say in adult television, and the Disney Channel approached me, and they wanted me to think about doing a show for them, and I basically said to them, I haven't done kid shows. It's not really my, arena. And they said to me, well, what we really want to do is a grounded family show that could be on the network as well. And I found that really intriguing. And they were true to their word. We created a show. I created a show I'm very proud of. And it's a family show that happens to have kids. It's not, I wouldn't say with a capital K, a kid show, if that makes any sense.
It's also an odd threesome show. As I mentioned in the tease, it's about single dad, teenager at a very interesting point in her life, and sort of a kooky out there grandma.
Yeah. What we liked was, since we already had, it's a father-daughter show, and I felt like we've never seen that part of a grandma, and what I wanted her to be, even grounded in the initial episode, is she just retired, and now she's going to hit, her bucket list. And it's been fun to watch a non-traditional grandma, on a family show. And she's been a fan favorite because I think kids really enjoy seeing a different kind of grandma.
And yet some of it is something, a subject that you are very familiar with because of how you were brought up.
Yeah, well, when Disney and I talked about the idea, I was intrigued about the idea of a single dad and a daughter. I have a daughter. And then when we talked about it taking place in the 90s, what I really liked was, as a parent, you forget what it's like to be your kid's age. As much as you try to remember, And I loved the concept of the show that we see the father when he was his daughter's age and the things that he went through, both similar and different, and then how it reflects on his parenting. And I was kind of, you know, my dad passed away when I was young, so I was kind of raised by a single mother as well. So I just found both of those eras very intriguing and relatable.
Was the idea of flashbacks initially part of your creation, or did that come later?
That was always part of the creation. I worked very closely and very collaboratively with the Disney Channel. And this was the concept we came up with, that it would take place in the present, but what made it unusual, it would also take place in the past, and we would see how the past affects the present. And also, at the ending, it seems obvious how to do it, but it wasn't so obvious at the beginning because we didn't want it to be like told as a flashback to the daughter, because then you really can't do parallel stories. So certainly shows like This Is Us showed that you could go, you know, backward and forward in time and not have to be too concerned about framing each one as such a big flashback, you know?
As a matter of fact, Disney has had some experience with that, because a previous comedy that they had ran a couple of seasons did use the flashback idea, where it sets up a premise and the premise is about to hit its conclusion, but then it goes back to here's how the premise happened in the first place. So this is not an altogether foreign experience for Disney.
Correct. But ours was used, you know, it's fun to show the period of the 90s. But we were very careful not to let those lead us, those jokes, which might be a lot of fun for adults to see. You know, in the first one of the drafts I had that he worked at a Blockbuster, the kid in the 90s. And although those jokes are fun for us, don't forget to rewind and all that, we wanted it to be accessible to the kids. So we changed it from a Blockbuster type of thing to just an old-fashioned video arcade. So we look at the 90s as kind of like frosting on the cake, you know, as far as the style of clothing and the music, but it's really still about relationships. And, you know, that never changes, parent-kid.
If Mark Reisman's name is familiar, it's because he made a lot of contributions to some of the most iconic and long-running sitcoms of recent years, like Frasier and Wings and The X's, and now he is on the family side of things with Spinning to the Max. It's a brand new Disney Channel affair, and it begins tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Mark joins us live from the set of the show in Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Atbaum with you live from New York, the other end of the U.S. of A. If you have a question or comment for Mark, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name. Remember, coming up on Monday, we go live to the Sundance Film Festival in Utah, and we'll speak with the folks behind a pilot that looks very promising, got some big talent behind it, and may become a TV series called Work in Progress. We'll speak with the creator and co-star, Abby McAnee. We'll speak with the creator and director, Tim Mason. And from Saturday Night Live, co-star, Julia Sweeney. Plus, we will have, from Hallmark Channel's new special, the first ever Cat Bowl, next weekend. On Super Bowl weekend, we'll have executive producer Kathy Satoa. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Don't miss it right here on Tomorrow We Televise, coming your way on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the IR Radio Podcast Network. In making the transition from more adult comedies to family comedy, what was the most important thing you had to transit to as both writer and an executive producer?
I think the most important thing is the story is told through the kids' point of view. We certainly have adults in the show, but it's got to be relatable to our kid audience. And so we constantly, you know, I tell the writer's room, you know, this is told throughout children's point of view, through the kid's point of view. And what's great is it makes it very specific. What I love working with the Disney Channel is they know who their audience is. You know, they're very, very smart about it. And what they've been wonderful is expanding this. You know, I think Andy Mack, if you're familiar with that show, I think that really led the way for a show like ours, that you could see that you could be real and grounded and funny and still find an audience. But I would say the major thing is to always make sure that it's got to be understandable and kid POV.
And one of the things, too, also, Mark, is that Disney has had this uncanny ability to find these kids and teens who just have wonderful talent and can make a character fly. And we've seen it time and time and time again. And you have another one in that vein. Her name is Ruth Rigge. She plays Sydney. How did you find her? And how do you use her experiences in the plot of the show?
Well, it was actually fascinating, you know, to be in the inside of Disney Channel and see what they do best is discover talent. And it's it's a very egalitarian system in that in today's world with, you know, the internet, people just send in links. Kids send it, you know, through their agents or even through theater troops or whatever. They send in a link of, you know, reading the sides of our show. And Ruthie was one of them. So it's literally she was one in a lot of kids for that role. And she stood out. She just had that something special, you know. And she had also been in School of Rock on Broadway for the last year. So we knew she had experience and that she was very courageous. And I do like to work from within what some of the kids are like. Sydney plays the bass guitar. Ruthie does in real life. And I incorporated that into the show. That's Sydney. I love having our actors be comfortable with their characters. And I also added for Jackson, the boy who plays young Max. He's a sponsored skateboarder. So I made him a skateboarder. In one of the drafts, he was really into music, but I felt like, why not play to, you know, his strength and what he does. So, you know, this process becomes like a melding of her and the writer as you, you know, develop a series.
Incidentally, Ruth's claim to Broadway fame was School of Rock, the musical on Broadway, which had a very, very nice and acclaimed run, I might add. Talk also about the single dad, the sort of you in this series, played by Ian Reed Kessler, who comes from Suits, which just got the final season go on USA Network early in the week. What's it been like working with him?
Just a pleasure, you know. Everybody reads for the role, you know, and Ian was actually, I think, our first read of many. And we just kept saying, well, that's the guy to beat. You know, he just nailed it. He nailed the comedy, but more importantly, the warmth. And then what we did is we had him audition with Ruthie, who plays Sydney. And just together, they were greater, you know, than the parts. And once we saw that, we just knew they would be fantastic. And Ian is a real, you know, anchor for this show. And he's been spectacular. It's just a pleasure writing for him.
And rounding out this trio is somebody who has had an amazing and versatile career as stand-up comedian, as talk show host, as personality, more recently on Funny You Should Ask, the game show from Byron Allen, found its second season all over the country in syndication. Just had her own game show, Caroline Friends, sort of game talk show, which was on GSN. We're talking about, of course, Carolyn Ray. And I'm curious how you try when you have someone like that who seems to be a chameleon in terms of comedy or television. How do you work with her to bring about this character that's sort of this out there, funky, I try everything kind of person?
Well, you know, Caroline is an actress, and that was a very tricky role because you had to find someone who you could believe as the grandmother in the present day and also the mom in the 90s. And it's also a very much different character. What we play is she's the fun grandma now, but she was a single mom and a little more serious when she was a mom. And so it's been just great working with Caroline, you know, to have two distinctive points of view, you know, in the different eras. And Caroline is just automatically, she makes you smile. And as I said, the audience has fallen in love with her because she's lovable. And what's interesting is the kids also enjoyed her being a strict mom in the 90s because they understood that. So it's just been a breath of fresh air having Caroline around.
When you brought your writing and directing team together, what was the camaraderie like? How did it compare with what you did on Frasier, what you did on Wings and X and other shows you worked on? And what was different in terms of what experiences they brought to the table that you could then convert into episodes?
Well, even for director, I'm playing in Disney sandbox, so I want to play with their people, you know. And I used a director that they have worked with, and I interviewed several. I clicked with him really well. And They're also guiding me because this is my first kid show. But it's interesting, in the writer's room, if you came in, you wouldn't know whether you were at Frasier, Wings, The X's, or Sydney to the Max. We have a whole mix of people. We have a whole mix. We have a diverse group of everybody in the room because you all those different points of view. So it's just been a delight picking all these different kinds of people to be in the writer's room to bring their own experience. And one of my writers who I brought from The X's, Gary Murphy, was there for almost the entire run of Malcolm in the Middle. So obviously Gary has that experience. Yeah. But they're just all a wonderfully talented group who bring their own experiences and their points of view to the writing. And it's been great. It hasn't been as big of an adjustment as I thought it would be because, again, Disney said, imagine you're doing a family show for a network. And I certainly know how to do those. Obviously, I'm sensitive to that it's a kid show and we have to respect, you know, the kids watching it. And we have standards and practice. But I've been pretty self-editing myself. I have children, and I keep telling the story that right before I started the show, I saw the Mr. Rogers documentary. And it was the perfect time to see it because he said something that really hit me. He said, when producing a show for kids, we have to respect their childhood. And I thought that was lovely. And that kind of set my North Star for the series.
Since you brought it up, Mark, what did you think about Won't You Be My Neighbor? And what did you think about the fact it got snubbed by the Oscars this week?
I loved Won't You Be My Neighbor. I thought it was just phenomenal. I obviously didn't grow up with Mr. Rogers, but I knew him. And, I knew of his work. It was just incredible to me. And as far as snubs in the Oscars go, you know, I kind of don't pay attention to that stuff because I understand award shows, but I just hate when artists are compared to each other, you know. I wasn't even aware that he wasn't nominated, but, you know, that kind of stuff could get you crazy. They should just take pride in the fact that wonderful movie, documentary.
It was, and it was great to see a film that was both critically acclaimed and the audience got to see. And unlike a lot of documentaries, it was widely distributed, so people had a really great chance to see. And, of course, Tom Hanks is now going to play Fred Rogers in a scripted version of that film. It's going to be, I think that's the perfect choice, by the way, personally, for Hanks to play. We'll see how it, of course, goes. I believe the film is coming out either this Christmas time or sometime in 2020. Sydney to the Max premieres tonight, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time on the Disney Channel. We've got the creator, executive producer with us, Mark Reisman of Frasier, Wings, and other comedy classic fame. He's with us live from the set of the show in L.A., and he's with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Two more minutes with him, so if you have a question or comment, get in now, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, sign on Zoom 4 by name, and shortly, I'll have our latest show to know. It's a classic Broadway musical, and it's coming to Fox this Sunday night. Mark, tell us about the first episodes and what kind of escapades our cast gets into.
Well, it's always great when you could bring your own life into episodes, you know. And I remember when my son was about 12 or around the age of our characters, he wanted to bleach his hair. And he did bleach it. And I remember the difference in my reaction and my wife's reaction. So in doing the pilot, I wanted to do a story that we could show both in the present and the past, and one that would be for boys and girls. So the idea of the hair, since that's such a crucial look for an important look for kids of that age, I decided to do a story around that. And the difference being how we have the ability to have the dad's experience affecting how he feels about the present. So it was a story that really came very early and naturally, and it never really changed. You know, we might have made adjustments to the characters and the points of view, but we just loved how, you know, we see it was a way also to show literally the sets, the double sets, both kids in the same bedroom in different eras, and it was very clearly done. And ultimately, though, it's a story about a kid in middle school, starting middle school, and the challenges that they face. So that's really what the episode's about, finding your identity.
in the end, is finding your identity the main theme of the series that you want the audience to get?
Yeah, I think I want the audience to get that kids, it's a wonderful time, and it could be a difficult time, but with the support of your family and friends, you'll get through it. And I think that's really the theme of the show. It's about family, and it's about each kid has a very close friend in each era, and they support each other. So it's really about, you know, that time in a kid's life.
City to the Max. City played by Rose Ritchie, also co-starring Caroline Ray and other people too as well. City to the Max premieres tonight, 8:30 p.m. Pacific time on the Disney Channel. Check local list for where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.disneychannel.ca. That's www.disneychannel.ca or www.disney.com. City to the Max tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Mark Reisman, the creator, executive producer of the series, thank you for taking the time from the set to be with us. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground. And I have a hunch, just like a lot of other great Disney Channel programs, this one's going to have a great, great run with you aboard.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Thanks for making the time. Have a great, great weekend.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking to you.
Same here. Take care.
Take care.
Mark Reisman, creator, executive producer of Cinemax, joining us from the set of the show in Los Angeles. Before we leave you for this week, time for a show to know. It's our regular feature where we highlight programs that are worth your while to watch. You may not know about because they may not be as well publicized, promoted, highlighted, or they fall on the radar screen of critics like yours truly. Our show to know this week happens this Sunday night at 7 o'clock on Fox. It is our latest live theater production, and it is a stunner. It's Rent, the Tony and Pulitzer Prize-winning musical about a group of New Yorkers who have to deal with signs of the times in a period of HIV, AIDS, and political and social turmoil. It has got a very incredible cast, including Emmy Award nominee Brandon Victor Dixon from Jesus Christ Superstar last year, you know, from Hamilton, you know, from Power on Stars, Vanessa Hudgens, who was so memorable in Grease Live, and also Valentina, one of the people from RuPaul's Drag Race, and also the woman who did the song from The Greatest Showman as well, that movie with Hugh Jackman. It's directed by Alex Vernitsky, who is, of course, the famed director of Dancing with the Stars, did Grease Live, and also last year's Jesus Christ Superstar on NBC. Keanu Sato, by the way, is the woman who does, who's in the show, and she does Seasons of Love, the seminal song from that award-winning musical. It's a musical that, to me, really represents the cutting edge of Broadway when it came out and still, and it has very powerful moments, and I think it's great that Fox is doing this musical. It's not the kind of musical that you would think Fox would do, but give them credit for doing it and for spending 3 hours on a Sunday night to make it happen. If I do have a reservation, and I do, I wish this was done in New York because it's all about New Yorkers, and it would really be great if this was done in New York and had a New York audience catching it. I think it would have more of a vibe, and I think the energy level would be terrific. It will be done live from the Fox Studios in Los Angeles, and like I said, I think the cast is tremendous. I'm happy to say some of the people that did the original Broadway show are involved as well, and I'm thrilled that Alex Minsky is going to direct it. He has done a wonderful job doing some of these live musical specials, and I think he is going to pull out the stops and make this work. Rent, if you never saw the musical or the movie, which I know has gotten controversy on both sides of the aisle, I hope you get a chance to see Rent on Fox. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. this Sunday night. Check your local news to the Fox station in your area. It is 7 p.m. live on the East Coast, tape delayed on the West Coast, 7 p.m. local time. And for more details about the program online, you can go to www.fox.com. That's www.fox.com. Rent. It's on Fox, live, this Sunday night. I have a hunch it's going to be a very unforgettable experience. We're sure to know that you want to be heard on this program. If there's a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention, no matter where it's from, Fox, Disney Channel, NBC, CBS, ABC, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, etc. Well, we want to highlight it But we got to hear from you. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if we use your suggestion on here, of course, you get the credit. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. We want shows to be known, and we'll do it with your support. Again, I want to thank all of our guests, not just today, but this week, for making this week so special. And thanks to all of you for the wonderful birthday greetings on Wednesday and since. We've been on social media. I've been on Facebook and Twitter all over the place saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. And it's great to celebrate a birthday with a lot of people knowing and appreciating what you do. And you, me, be appreciative of you in return. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, we will go live to the Sundance Film Festival, meet the people behind the TV series pilot and possible series Work in Progress with creator and co-star Abby McNary. We'll have director Kim Nathan and from SNL co-star Julia Sweeney. And then from the new Hallmark Channel, special presentation, Cat Bowl, coming up on Saturday of Super Bowl weekend, executive producer Kathy Satola. And don't forget, coming up a week from today on Smart Retail Live, we'll kick off Black History Month, February 1st, with Devon Gregory from the new BET scripted series about Don Cornelius and the making of Soul Train, American Soul. And from the new network, Acro, that'll be premiering on Comcast cable systems across the country, spokesperson Keisha Boyd. That's all coming up next week. VWC Pacific, Monday and Friday, on Tomorrow We Televise. You came in late on today's program. Want to catch up an episode you missed, and I hope you get the episodes we did this week. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Don't forget, we're on podcast 24/7 at iTunes, also at Apple TV and Speakers Podcast app, and, of course, on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. We love hearing from you, so email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, that's how you get involved with Show to Know. That's how you get involved with Class Trivia Question, new one on Monday with new prize. And we just love hearing from you, and we like to hear what you think about the world of television, where it's at, and more importantly, where it's going. Why? Because what you say matters all the time. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. Now, I'll say those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at Blog Talk is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Enterprise, Brown Levy, and Bob Charish. Tomorrow we tell lives is brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and a one-month trial, AudibleTrial.com/televise. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a sensational weekend, however you spend it. And we'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend and beyond, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.